Testing 1, 2. Good afternoon, everybody.
There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not.
Testing 1, 2.
Strength for today, and right hope for tomorrow. Let's think the light with 10,000 besides. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning.
Testing 1, 2. Welcome, everybody. We're going to get started in just a few minutes. So glad to see so many of you here. You're going to make me cry.
It's been 3 days and
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2.
Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we bring you something that we've been thinking about and talking about and praying about for quite a while. And so many of you told me that this is what you wanted to see. And I love it. I love expanding what we're doing here, and almost kind of feels like we're turning into an actual little network. And it is time, after 10 solid years of doing the Sunday night 2-hour Bible study every Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m., we're gonna expand things, and we're going to branch out, and we're going to do a whole lot more because more is needed. So, because this is the first episode, and I'm still kind of figuring out the format and things as we go along, there's nothing more important than opening up in prayer and asking the Lord for His blessing on what we're about to do and what we're about to undertake. I see just about 100 people in the chat room, so I am thrilled. I am thrilled with the turnout. And I'm only a minute and a half into the very first episode, but I can see this easily becoming a 45-minute or an hour program, because there is just so much to talk about. And we're going to do that. But I would like every single one of you to join with me, and let's pray. Let's go before the Lord and commit this new endeavor to Him, and ask for His blessing on it. Heavenly Father, we come together as the NTEB family of believers all over the world, Lord, as a church family, and we ask for Your blessing on what we're about to do here, Lord. I ask You, Father God, to bring in the people that You want to have here, keep out those that need to be kept out, set a hedge of protection about Now the End Begins and about me and my family and my children, Lord, because the enemy attacks on so many levels every day. As I've said a lot recently, God, You've given me great friends and You've given me great enemies. And I appreciate both. We ask you, Father God, to set a hedge of protection around Now the End Begins, around this ministry, and everybody who's connected to it, Jeanette and Lori, and Peter and Clay, and just all the people, Hope and April and Larry and just everybody, Lord, who helps and lifts up the arms, Lord, of me as I do this program, and I am so grateful for the support, Lord, and I'm so thankful for the support, and it's Lord, you've given me the desires of my heart. You truly have, and the desires of my heart have always been to be useful for you and to be a witness, Lord, and to be a bold witness, rightly dividing and dispensationally correct, Lord, and bringing the gospel, the grace of God, Lord, as far as it will go. And so, Lord, we as a church family, we come before you today. We commit this time to you. We commit this program to you. And we ask for your blessing, your provision and your protection, Lord. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Very glad that you're here. This thing kind of came together. We've talked about it for a long time, but it came together so quickly. And it's funny, this morning I'm waking up and doing my regular business and having coffee and just kind of la-di-da. And I'm thinking, okay, I said that we're going to start that program on Monday at 12 o'clock. And I'm looking at the clock and it's 11:20. And I realize, shouldn't I be designing graphics for something? Shouldn't I be writing a article about this to be publishing it? And I was just so focused on the program, I forgot to publish the program. So, but thankfully we were able to get up to speed, and 116 people in the chat room. That's great to see, and I'm so glad that you guys want this, that you'll support this, that you'll pray for this, and that you'll show up, and that you'll listen, and that you'll share the links. That's so important, that you share the links. If you like a story that we do, if you like an article that we do, please grab the link and send it out through your social media. And that's how, I mean, look, we get blocked by Facebook all the time. We get limited by Twitter and limited by YouTube. But you guys are the ones who, when you share the links, that's how we get out there. So this is very much, Now the End Begins is very much a grassroots organic movement. And we don't have big sponsors. We have people all over the world who donate. That's how we do this. I have been able this year to buy all brand new equipment. I bought a brand new computer, brand new microphones, brand new everything. And isn't it so funny that God put on my heart at the beginning of the year to upgrade everything, and now, since this whole lockdown has started, millions of people are coming to Now the End Begins, and if I didn't have upgraded, that's very bad English, but if I would not have upgraded everything, we would not be able to sustain the triple amount of people that are coming to Now the End Begins now to get their news, because they want to know what's going on. So God has wonderfully, he's seen everything before it needed to happen. You know, because I was kind of thinking, do I really need to upgrade my entire server? Do I really need to get a brand new computer for home? And you know what? I absolutely, ever since March 16th, when the lockdown started and the website went from, you know, 30, 40,000 per day to 80, 90, 100, 130,000 per day. And I thank God that we have that new equipment, but I only have that equipment because you people made it possible for me to have it, because you donate and you pray and you give and you share our links. So this new programming is possible because of you, and I want to thank you very much. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, and I just want to read a couple of verses that is really kind of the bedrock of what we're going to be doing here every Monday and Friday. And you know what? I think I'm going to have to make this an hour program. I can't imagine just making it 30 minutes. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think, if you would be able to listen for a whole hour during the day. But it just feels like it needs to be an hour. Anyway, Ezekiel chapter 33, and I just want to read the first 7 verses. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7 in your King James Bible says this: "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not his trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee up a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." So that's really kind of the verses that I am saying are going to be the bedrock of this new bi-weekly. Is that the right? Every twice a week? This new bi-weekly program. Every Monday and Friday, starting at noon. And this program is going to take our Sunday night program and our Wednesday night program. Don't forget about that. We are adding a whole new 2-hour Bible study program every Wednesday night. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. It's going to be Wednesday from 9 to 11 Eastern Time, and Sunday, of course, from 9 to 11 Eastern Time. And that's really, we talk about a little bit of news, but it's mostly a Bible study. This program on Monday and Friday is going to be mostly news and a little bit of Bible study. That's what it's going to be. So we're going to look at the news, and we're going to blow the trumpet, and we are going to unfilter the news that ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, MSNBC, even Fox News, the highly filtered, highly biased, highly partisan news, we are going to deconstruct that for you. We are going to unfilter it, and we are going to run it through the King James Bible to see what we are coming up with. Now, looking at the headlines today at Drudge Report, oil plunges 45% in day. Fauci condemns protesters. Second wave fears. Billionaire Branson from Virgin Atlantic Airlines begs for bailout. So here we see today, it's April 20th, and the New World Order is in full swing. Oil is plummeting. Absolutely plummeting. Let's see why it's plummeting. It says here that U.S. crude prices plunged to their lowest level in more than 30 years on Monday as traders continue to fret over a slump in the demand due to the coronavirus pandemic. The price of the nearest oil futures contract, which expires Tuesday, was the hardest hit, detaching from later month futures contracts with a drop of more than 40%. This suggests that some believe there could be a recovery later in the year. So there we have the price of oil futures is plummeting. I don't know what the price of gas is by you, but here in northeastern Florida, gas is between 135 and 160. I think I paid 160 for it yesterday, coming back from drive-in church. It's great. Our church has started holding drive-in services in the parking lot. We have a big yard at our church, and everybody just pulls up in their car and they turn their FM radio to the proper station, and we're having church. So that's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. A number of people are talking about today being 420 day, and that's the day where all the pot smokers rejoice in smoking pot and getting high and all that stuff. I was raised around people who smoke pot. I have a brother who loves to smoke pot, even still to this day. I grew up having a lot of friends who smoked it. I tried it a couple times. It made me feel terrible. It made me feel awful. It's horrible. But 420 day can also be a great day for sharing the gospel with people. That can be a fantastic day. And just like with Halloween and Christmas and Easter, now we know that Halloween is the devil's holiday. We know that Christmas is not a Christian holiday. It is a Roman Catholic holiday taken from Babylon. We know that Easter is not, well, it's actually in the Bible. Easter is definitely in the Bible. It's mentioned in the Bible. Let's see if I can pull up the verse quickly. I know it's from Acts 12, but I'm trying to find it in an article that I have about Easter. Easter is mentioned as being side by side with Passover that we just finished celebrating last week. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4, in Acts 12, verse 4, we read this. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So there you have Easter mentioned in your New Testament. And it was recognized as a celebration 2,000 years ago, but it was a pagan celebration. The Bible celebration that takes place at the same time is Passover. And the resurrection is connected not to Easter, it's connected to Passover. And, you know, we told you all about that. We have done many, many Sunday night Bible studies on Easter and Passover and the resurrection. And certainly this past Resurrection Sunday, we covered that all in great detail. But what I want to encourage you with, I want to encourage you guys to take these pagan holidays, Easter, Halloween, Christmas, all these things, 420 day, and make it a day for witnessing. That's what we need to be doing. Last Halloween, I didn't celebrate Halloween. I didn't have any decorations at my house. But what I did do is I handed out gospel tracts and a piece of candy to everybody who came by. And every single person received a gospel tract. And I think that's fantastic. That's what we should be doing. We should be plundering the enemy's property. We should be attempting to steal souls from Satan's kingdom. And why not? That's what he does all day, every day. You know, Satan says in Isaiah chapter 14, he says, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the sides of the north. And so he is in the plundering business 24 hours a day. He never quits. And that's what we need to be doing as well. We need to be doing some plundering. And the Apostle Paul, he did a whole lot of plundering. And do you know what he said? Turn to Acts chapter 20. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul said when he was told not to go to Jerusalem because there was going to be trouble there. Acts 20, starting in verse 22, he says, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I see in the chat room that a number of you have ordered gospel tracts. We have been sending every 2 or 3 days, we have been sending out, I kid you not, probably 10,000, not 10,000 orders, obviously, but about 20 to 25 orders every 2 or 3 days. And that's for us, that's a lot. That's keeping us very, very busy to fulfill 20 to 25 orders every 2 to 3 days. And we love it. So if you've ordered gospel tracts, they are on their way to you as we speak. And like we always say, if you cannot afford to purchase gospel tracts, if you legitimately cannot afford to purchase gospel tracts, or a King James Bible, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and we'll send them out to you for free. I have people who donate to this ministry and they donate and they tag the money and they say, would you please use this money to send out Bibles and gospel tracts to people who ask for them and can't afford them. And we absolutely do that, and we have been able to really expand the reach of what we're able to do and people that we're able to help and to get gospel tracts. Look, they're expensive to produce, and they're not cheap, and a lot of work goes into creating them. But at the end of the day, we want people to be witnesses, bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. So, if you cannot afford a gospel tract, and you want to be a witness, I'll send you a whole box, no charge for the tracts, and no charge for the shipping. And we will ship them anywhere in the world that the United States Post Office will ship, which is almost every place on the face of the earth. I was shocked when I looked to see exactly where the United States Post Office ships. It's virtually every country on the face of the earth. So that's very exciting. Cupman is making some comments in the chat room. Cupman, just send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and I will send you a box of gospel tracts at no charge. So please, if you can afford them, buy them. That helps us to stay online. But if you can't, hey, we want the gospel to go out so much that we'll send you the tracts for free if you legitimately cannot afford them. So that's that. So let's do some news. But you see what I mean about this? Really can't be a half-hour program because that's the introduction, and I only have 9 minutes left. But if it's okay with you, I'll stay for the hour today. If you want to let me know that you guys can stay for an hour, I'll stay for an hour. So that is perfectly fine with me. So let's do some news and let's see what's going on. I told you last night, here's a very interesting story. Here's a very interesting story. The Democratic Party picked Joe Biden because of his dementia with a plan to trigger the 25th Amendment and to make Michelle Obama president. That's the story that we did yesterday, and a lot of people are starting to pick that up, that the Democratic Party is really, they're always up to a lot of skullduggery and a lot of problems and a lot of deceit and trickery and intrigue, as all politics is. You know, I could never be a politician. I could never, ever be a politician and be a Christian at the same time. It would be nearly impossible. And I have sympathy for the people who are legitimate Christians who attempt to be politicians and the compromises that they have to make. So, the story we did yesterday, why is the Democratic Party so gung-ho to elect Joe Biden? Why do they want this man who is nearly 80 years old and who is visibly frail? He's easily frustrated. He's out of breath the entire time. And he can't even keep a straight thought in his head while he's doing a one-on-one interview from the isolation of his house. If you can't concentrate and focus that way, you are not fit to run the country. But they know that he's not fit to run the country, and that's why they want him. Because they're going to invoke the 25th Amendment should he win the election. Now, what is the 25th Amendment? Glad you asked. The 25th Amendment, proposed by Congress and ratified by the states in the aftermath of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, provides the procedures for replacing the president or vice president in the event of death, removal, resignation, or incapacitation. The Watergate scandal of the 1970s saw the application of these procedures, first when Gerald Ford replaced Spiro Agnew as vice president, then when he replaced Richard Nixon as president. So that's what the 25th Amendment is, and they started it after Kennedy was assassinated, and it is a clause within the Constitution that provides that if the president dies, he needs to be removed, he resigns, or he is incapacitated. That's on that last point is where Joe Biden will be activated with the 25th Amendment. And I'm seeing that everybody in the chat room wants me to stay for the whole hour. It will be my pleasure. I was actually kind of hoping that you would say that. And so we will go the whole hour. So Joe Biden, he has the absolute full-throttled support of the entire Democratic Party. He promised a few weeks ago in his last one-on-one with Bernie Sanders, he promised that, because Bernie Sanders says that if he got the nomination, he promised that he would have a female vice president. Joe Biden made a similar promise that evening. And so he is kind of honor-bound. There's no way he's going to get through this if he doesn't pick a female vice president. So if you think, who would he pick? Would he pick Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? No, she's terrible. Kamala Harris? No, she's terrible. The only person that he could possibly pick, there's two people that he could possibly pick, would be Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama. Now, if he picks Hillary Clinton, that would be a mixed bag, because she has a whole lot of negatives associated with her, and those negatives, they grow year after year. But Michelle Obama has been cultivated by the media ever since her and Barack Obama left the White House. She has been cultivated by the fake news media. They continue to keep her on the cover of fashion magazines and all these different things, and they keep her name in the news, and she's constantly popping up to give a talk at the United Nations and fundraisers and high level events and MSNBC and CNN and all the rest, they make sure that you have not forgotten about Michelle Obama. And if Joe Biden picked her, there would be an absolute feeding frenzy on the liberal side. They would be so excited, not at the prospect of having Obama as the vice president, but because they know that Joe Biden is not capable of continuing. And so the prospect of putting Michelle Obama in as president, now who would she make as her vice president? Well, you know exactly who her vice president would be. It would be Barack Obama. And she would be allowed to fill out the term that she was elected vice president for, and then she would be allowed to run for two more terms as president. And that's a little bit of a loophole that we have in the Constitution that they're hoping to exploit. So this is why we pray. This is why we pray for our leaders. This is why the Apostle Paul, look, Rome was a terrible place 2,000 years ago. But why does the Apostle Paul tell us that we are to pray for our political leaders? There's a reason why he wants us to do that. He wants us to pray for our political leaders so that if it's possible, we can live in peace with all men. And so that we can have, so that the gospel can have an open window and have free course. And look, the political system was corrupt in Paul's day, and the political system is corrupt in our day. Nothing has changed. And the command for us to pray for our leaders, that continues. And look, from a very practical standpoint, if you live in America or whatever country that you live in, we have listeners like we have Gabby in Argentina. We have listeners, Nihal in Sri Lanka. We have people from all over the place. And we all live in different countries. But we pray for our leaders as Paul tells us to, so that we can live and we can get food and we can get sustenance and we can have everything that we need to function and to hand out the gospel. Because you stop praying for your, and God completely takes his hand off of a country, like they do in China. And you see that China, they'll come in and they round up the Muslims and they take them off to concentration camps. They take the Chinese Catholics and the Chinese Christians. They round them up and they take them off to concentration camps. Look, even at the worst days when Obama was president, at the very worst days of that, nobody knocked on my door and told me to stop having a Bible study. Nobody unplugged my radio station. Nobody turned my website off. Now, I get blocked on social media, absolutely. But in terms of a government perspective, I haven't been shut down 1 minute of one day, ever. And I believe that a lot of that is because we pray that God, as long as we, as you're going to keep us here, let us get something done for you. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 13:11-14. Romans 13:11-14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So that's what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. Now, those of you who were listening to last night's program, I played a clip for you called Donald's Bible, and I would very much like to play that clip again. I'm going to do a whole story on that, but what's exciting about that, if you were listening to last night's program, God has opened up a window and allowed us to make a connection with a member of President Trump's actual prayer team. And a bunch of you had sent me this Donald's Bible video on YouTube, and I really, really needed to have it verified. And this connection had been percolating for quite some time, and it came through yesterday, no coincidence. I got my question answered while last night's show was going on. That's how close to the broadcast it was last night. But what you're about to hear is a story of a revival that took place a long time ago. And it's connected to Donald Trump in the White House. And I was able to have this story that you're about to hear. I had it 100% verified by a member of Trump's prayer team last night. So listen to this. This is called Donald's Bible.
There was a great revival in the Hebrides in the early 1900s. Began to moved up to the pleading for it into the 40s. Maybe we could say it topped out in the early 50s. Two old women, one was 84 years old and one was 82 years old. One was blind and one was humped over so badly with spinal stenosis just arched over. But they had passion for revival. They wanted God to work. This is what happened. They couldn't even get out to the church to pray. They couldn't even get out to the church to worship. Their house became a place to meet. People came in. They got so passionate about revival coming to their isle, the Isle of Lewis. They got so passionate about it. They confronted the preacher and wanted to know if he was thoroughly right with God. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. And they'd seen the Lord, they said, with the church filled up. And God blessing, a great overflow. And the fire of God struck that tiny little obscure place off the coast of Scotland. And when it happened, there was a young teenage boy that got saved in it. His name was Donald. And the preacher became so dependent upon Donald and so close to Donald, he would ask him to lead in public prayers and help him with the meetings. And he did. Oh, how God worked. People began to hear about it, and the revival fire spread. It spread. And God blessed in a great way. Those two old women, the people, kind of people don't want in their church anymore. And from that same island, there was a young girl who was a cousin to Donald Smith, who immigrated to America. Her name was Marianne Smith McLeod. She came to America in 1936. She met a man named Fred. And they were married. They fell in love. They were married. God blessed in a great way. And those old women were her aunts. And they came out of that fiery revival. That fiery revival. They really experienced revival. And they sent a Bible, a copy of the Word of God that had been used in a special way in that revival, to Marianne. She started having children. I think it was 1937 she had her first child. They named him after his father, Fred. Then she had her second child, named after herself, Marianne. Then she had her third child, Elizabeth. Then she had her fourth child, and she was so impacted by this teenage boy God had used in that revival of the Hebrides. She named him Donald. And she gave him that Bible, the Hebrides Revival Bible. He was born in 1946. He's now the 45th president of the United States. And that revival Bible is in the Oval Office. I'm saying to you, I don't know how, why, I don't know how it all comes together. But I believe God is putting some things together to give us just a window. If he could find some open people who know what the window's for. Can this be the time the window is open? providentially, God has prepared the moment, and we will become the people of prayer, pleading with God. This is a plea. Will thou not revive us again? Will you be a part of that? Will you?
Every time I hear that, that still sends chills down my spine. That Bible, as I was able to confirm late last night, that Bible is actually in the White House. That story is true. And it's just amazing when you see all the spiritual forces that surround Donald Trump. And this has nothing to do with the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. You know what Jesus said when Judas led the Roman band of men to come get him in the garden that night? He looked at them and he said, "For now is your hour in the power of darkness." And it was given unto them a time to rise and to come to power. And one thing that we need to understand about the times that we live in, these are the days of prophecy that God said would happen. Don't pray against it, because this is what God wants to have happen. Darkness has to rise. And instead of wasting time praying against something that God said was going to happen, instead, why don't we pray and ask God to allow us to get something done during this time? You heard what the preacher said in that clip. He said that he is praying for a bunch of people to rise up who know why the window is open. There's no point in God giving us an open window if we don't know why the window was open in the first place. And I believe that God has given us a season of grace with Donald Trump to get something done. You know, we do all these stories on Bill Gates and the Mark of the Beast thing that he's trying to develop, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we expose these people to such a high level. Some of you know, some of you don't know, that mere weeks before the coronavirus crisis began in China, a group called Microsoft Technology Incorporated, they filed a patent, and they filed a patent whose number is 060606. I'm not joking. That's not fake news. That's real news. And they filed a patent that has three sixes in it, three zeros and three sixes. And this is what it does. Microsoft cryptocurrency system using body activity data. Human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in the mining process of a cryptocurrency system. A server may provide a task to a device of a user which is communicatively coupled to the server. A sensor communicatively coupled to it or compromised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. So, that's legal language. What does it break down to? Turn to Revelation chapter 13, and I'll show you that exact same principle from Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, that's the mark of the beast from the Bible. What is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a mark. It's a device that is implanted in the back of your right hand, or it is implanted inside your forehead. And what does the mark of the beast do? It conducts buying and selling for the person who's wearing it. That's what the mark of the beast does. So it really doesn't matter whether it's an RFID microchip, whether it's a quantum tattoo, a quantum dot tattoo. It doesn't really matter what it is, because the Bible tells you it is a device, a mark, that will go inside your body at one of two locations, the back of your right hand or in your forehead. And once that mark or device is inside your body, it will allow you or prevent you from buying and selling. That is what the mark of the beast does. And that's exactly what the Microsoft patent does for their cryptocurrency system using body activity data. And they filed a Hall patent back in October of last year, and they were assigned this number, W02020060606. So that's exactly the patent number for Microsoft Technology Incorporated, and that's the device that they are working on. So, is anybody shocked? Is anybody surprised that Bill Gates wants to give everybody a global vaccine, and he wants to give everybody a digital identification? Now, you know as well as I do that whatever is in that vaccine, it's also going to contain nanoparticles that will interact with an electronic digital device, and it's going to control things that way. Now, April says, where can I find that pastor's testimony about Donald Trump? I want to post that to Facebook. I'm going to be doing an article as soon as this show is over, April. I'm going to be doing an article on that, and you can post that. That's the one that I would like you to post. I haven't had time to write about it, but as soon as this show is over, I will be writing about it. So please grab that as soon as it's done, probably around 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Now, Cutman has a question. Cutman says, will the mark come out at the beginning of the tribulation or sometime later? We don't know when the mark comes out. It's going to be associated with the Antichrist, obviously. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. And I'll show you exactly what this mark is associated with. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. And these verses also prove that the church will not be in the tribulation. It is impossible. The church, Christians, will not be faced with the mark of the beast. And you'll see why in just a second. But there may be people who'll be listening to this program in that time after we're taken out in the rapture, and I don't ever want anyone to think that you can take that mark and it's okay, because it's not. I wrote an article on John MacArthur a couple of weeks ago, and he made this statement that if a Christian took the mark of the beast, all they would have to do was just ask God for forgiveness and be sincere, and because God loves us, He'll forgive us. But John MacArthur does not rightly divide the Bible. John MacArthur doesn't understand dispensations. And John MacArthur doesn't know that Christians will not be in the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. We have no reason to be there. We have no reason to be there. So John MacArthur wrote an article, and I see Karen just said that she was wondering, I said something about 1:30. I'm going to be doing an article on Donald's Bible, and that should be available for you guys to read and repost around 1:30, 1:45 today. That's what I was talking about. But John MacArthur says that a Christian, and there will be no Christians in the time of Jacob's trouble, all the Christians will be removed in the rapture. There's going to be tribulation saints in the time of Jacob's trouble. And John MacArthur said back in 2013, he said that if a Christian in the tribulation took the mark of the beast, all they would have to do was ask God for forgiveness and be sincere, and God would forgive them. And the Bible says that God will not forgive them. Look at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And let's start reading in verse 9. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So, John MacArthur, if you're listening, Revelation 14, 9 through 11 tells me and tells you that if you take the mark of the beast, if anybody, a pregnant mother who is hungry, parents who just want to feed their newborn baby, children who are concerned about elderly parents who have nothing to eat, and they say to themselves, "Oh, God will understand. I'm just going to pretend to worship Satan. I'm going to take that mark so I can buy and sell." No, no, no. Don't you do it. There is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness for the mark of the beast. Now, Cupman says, "So the mark of the beast is blasphemy." Absolutely. The mark of the beast is blasphemy against God, because it is connected. It is not simply a mark that controls buying and selling. It is a mark that controls buying and selling that is connected to the worship of Antichrist. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 14, and I want to show you why, when Satan sends Antichrist, why he wants to be worshipped. Because he has the world's biggest ego. And Satan wants what God has. And I'm going to show you that right now. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And let's start reading in verse 12. Isaiah 14, let's start reading in verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And then, of course, God tells him, "Nope. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." That's where Satan winds up. But do you see those five statements that he makes? We call them the five I wills. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend. I will be like. He says that five times. So when Antichrist comes, and he takes this mark that will be connected to his name, his number, and then they're going to make an image as well. It's going to be like a hologram that's going to float. It'd be like a statue, but it's going to be a virtual reality type of thing. And that's what they're going to make. And all that's going to be connected to the worship of Antichrist. And that's why... that's why nobody can take the mark of the beast and be forgiven. God, that is the unforgivable sin. God, write this down if you're not sure. Don't take the mark of the beast. God will not forgive it. Now, we're not going to be here. We're going to be raptured out. But look, the Marine Corps has a motto. The Marine Corps says, improvise, adapt, and overcome. So, what would happen if, for whatever reason, we were wrong about the timing of the rapture, and we found ourselves in the time of Jacob's trouble and in the Great Tribulation? What would happen? Well, for the first 3.5 years of the false peace and the false safety, Antichrist, who's still pretending to be a good guy, he would have to allow people like me and Rapture Ready and all the other Bible-believing websites to bash him 24 hours per day, and he couldn't do anything about it, because if he did, he wouldn't look tolerant and he wouldn't be able to maintain the charade. So if we found ourselves in the time of Jacob's trouble, for the first 3.5 years, Satan couldn't touch us anyway, because he would have to pretend to tolerate us. Now, when we get to that middle part, where the mark of the beast is, and if you don't take it, he cuts your head off, and he's no longer pretending to be a nice guy, then we would have trouble. But, now, just from what I've already told you, it's obvious the Christian church would never be in one single day of the time of Jacob's trouble. But if we were, I know that I am never going to take that mark. And I also know I'm never going to take a flu shot. I also know I'm never going to take a vaccine for COVID-19. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they want me to do. I don't care if they say, well, we're going to take your passport and you can't travel outside of your state. I don't care. I will never allow myself to be injected with anything related to that. Now, TJ has a question. Do I believe that the fallen angels are returning? Yes. Because Jesus says that it's going to be like the days of Lot, right? And what were the days of Lot? The days of Lot were a time period that began, and you're going to love this one. What was the main event that kicked off the days of Noah? It was Enoch being raptured out as a type of a believer who never sees death. Isn't that amazing? The days of Noah were started by the rapture of Enoch, who's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. There's no Jews at this time. So when Jesus says it's going to be like the days of Noah, that's, you got to remember that the rapture of Enoch started the days of Noah. Just like the rapture of the church is going to start the time of Jacob's trouble. Do you get that? The rapture of the church will start the time of Jacob's trouble in much the same way that the rapture of Enoch started the days of Noah. So yes, the people who are marrying and giving in marriage, those are the people in the time of Jacob's trouble. Those verses in Matthew do not apply to Christians in the church age doctrinally. You can make spiritual and devotional applications, but not doctrinal applications. Anything you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that is not church doctrine. That is kingdom doctrine. The kingdom of heaven doctrine. And Brother Jimmy Randolph wrote a really good article a number of years ago about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I'm going to put the link into the chat room. But if you're not in the chat room, you can just go to the search bar on nowtheendbegins.com in the upper right hand corner and just type in kingdom of heaven and it will pop up. When you read about the Sermon on the Mount and blessed are the poor and blessed are the peacemakers, all that happened after the rapture. TJ is talking about Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler, fantastic preacher. We reference him a lot. He has gone home to be with the Lord, but Chuck Missler, fantastic, fantastic. He had an idea that we were living in a digital simulation. And I researched that. Now, Chuck Missler, very sober-minded, very clear-thinking type of person. And I came to agree with what he said about us living in a digital simulation. I want you to read this article about a scientist from MIT. He wrote a book called The Simulation Hypothesis that says we are living in an artificial world much like The Matrix. And we are, absolutely. And that's exactly what Chuck Missler was talking about. Another really good preacher that you need to listen to is Pastor Charles Lawson from Tennessee. Pastor Lawson and his church, they are friends of this ministry. If you were to attend a church service there, you would see the NTEB gospel tracts in his foyer. And he is a great preacher. He's an old-fashioned, old-time preacher. And good stuff. So, yes, we are familiar with Chuck Missler, and we highly recommend that you listen to the preaching. Go to YouTube and listen to some sermons by Pastor Charles Lawson. You will absolutely get a blessing. Well, we've come to the end of our time, and I want to thank you so very much. And yes, this program has officially been upgraded. Every Monday and Friday, we're going to do a full hour with no commercial interruption, no fees, no dues. All of our content is premium, and none of it you have to pay for. So thank you guys for letting me know that you wanted the full hour, and thrilled to do it. Absolutely thrilled to do it. This is what God saved me to do. This is the talents that He gave me. This is what He's called me to do. And I am so happy to be here doing it with you guys. So please share our links, visit the site, tell your friends and neighbors about NowTheEndBegins.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And don't forget, this Wednesday night, we have started another full two-hour Bible study beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Lord willing, I'll see you this Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Have a great day, everybody.
Change your life. He was born of a virgin, one holy night. the beginning, he said with a smile. What more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more. I believe this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this for you. He was part of a earth and one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. All the angels sang it. Praise to the great I am. He walked on the water. Beginning.